We all make mistakes. Just listen to the show. But some are more costly than others. Ed Zerndorfer is a registered employee benefit consultant and joins us today with a list of the 10 biggest errors federal employees make during their careers. Today, we'll take a closer look at three of those specific errors. Ed, thanks so much for joining us, and good morning to you.
Good morning, Amy. It's always my pleasure.
Now, three of the errors being discussed today, let's talk about the first one, failure to thoroughly review personnel records. What do you mean?
Well, let me just say up front that I conduct a retirement seminar for federal employees, and it's my observation that these are 10 of the biggest errors that employees make during their working careers, and I'm going to review the first three today, and we will subsequently go through the rest of them over the next few weeks. But the first error is, as you mentioned, failure to thoroughly review personnel records. Every federal employee has what is called an official personnel folder, OPF for short, and in that folder are important documents that an employee should routinely look at, and one important form is Form SF-50. That's Notice of Personnel Action. And on that form are two very important pieces of information. One piece of information is called the retirement plan. And that means what retirement plan the employee is officially covered by, whether it's CSRS, the old system, or serves offset, or FERS. It is shocking to know that there are employees who may not even be aware of what retirement system they're covered by, or worse, they found out later on that they were in fact put in the wrong retirement system. And they discover this maybe a year, maybe even 6 months before they intend to retire, and as a result, they're ineligible to retire because they were in fact put in the wrong retirement system. So employees should look at box number 30 of the standard Form 50, and every employee has one, to see what retirement plan they are officially covered by. And that box is coded, and the codes are on the form there.
Boy, talk about an oops that would really make you fall over right in your tracks.
Well, and this is what employees are discovering. They were, in fact, put in the wrong retirement system. I ran across a case where an employee was put in the old system and should have been put in the new system. This goes back 25 years, and this is 1985. They were put in FERS, and as a result, they got contributions made to the Thrift Savings Plan from the government, because the government matches FERS employees' TSP contributions, and in fact, they were not supposed to have been put in FERS. So they got 25 years worth of matching on TSP, and now all that money has to be backed out. So they weren't put in the wrong retirement system.
Oh, they have to give that money back?
Oh, sure, because they weren't in the wrong retirement system.
Seems to me, well.
You're gonna forfeit it.
That's a whole different kettle of fish right there.
Can a lawyer fix that for you?
This is what, or vice versa. They were put in the new they were put in the old retirement system. They should have been put in the new retirement system, and they missed out on the matching, which means that the agency, they have to go back 25 years and have the agency contribute what should have been put in there for over the past 25 years.
So then, Ed, the onus is on the federal employee to check those records and make sure they're accurate.
Absolutely. No one is going to call the employees. As just a reminder, would you check your personnel records to make sure they're correct? It's up to the employee.
Well, I don't know what could be worse than that, but number two on your list is failure to make timely request estimates of unpaid deposits or redeposits.
Well,
so what's that about?
Let me just continue with this one form here. This standard Form 50 goes right next door to that box number 30 on SF-50 is something called the service computation date. And the SCD, service computation date, for all intents and purposes, is the day that the employee started contributing to his or her retirement system. This is the service computation date for retirement. Now, but there are exceptions to that. If an employee made a deposit for military service or for temporary time, that service computation date could be backed up. And this is very important because the service computation date for retirement will determine when an employee can officially retire. It's based on your years of service and your age, with the day of, you know, as far as eligibility for retirement. Ideally, you want to get that SCD for retirement pushed backwards every legal way, and you do that by making deposits. Well, an employee in some cases did make a deposit for military time or temporary time, and the SCD for retirement was not pushed backward. It was not adjusted accordingly, and the employee finds that out years after they had made their deposit. So an employee should, once they make that deposit for their military time or temporary time, make sure that there's been an adjustment in that SCD for retirement, and that will usually appear on their standard Form 50 box number 31. And talking about deposits, that's the second most one of the biggest omissions an employees make is failure to make a deposit or a redeposit for any military time or temporary time or money that has been withdrawn. And employees find out years down the line that because they served in the military, because they had so-called temporary time way back when, that they can in fact make a deposit for that time, and if they do, that will add to their civilian time, which in turn will mean they could retire earlier and, more important, get a higher annuity because they have more years of service. Regarding redeposits, if an employee withdrew their money when they left federal service and then came back to federal service, they have an opportunity to redeposit that money and get those years of service back. Employees are not aware of that, and they may find out many years down the road, and if they do, they still can make this deposit or redeposit, but they're going to end up paying a lot more in interest, and it's the interest that kills most employees in terms of their payment.
So again, the onus on the employee to double check.
It's up to the employee to be aware of this, and many employees are not aware of it until many years down the road, and they end up paying dearly for that in terms of interest charges.
And much further down the road, hopefully, is the beneficiary designations.
Well, actually not, Amy. The beneficiary designation should be filled out almost immediately. Many employees have failed to fill out all the beneficiary forms that they should. And let me just go through a quick list here what forms should absolutely be filled out right now. The first form is standard form SF-1152, and that can be downloaded from OPM's website at www.opm.gov. Again, the form is SF, standard form 1152, and the title of that form is called Designation of Beneficiary for Unpaid Compensation and Unused Annual Leave of a Deceased Federal Employee. If a federal employee dies in service and has any unpaid compensation due him or her, or any unused annual leave, that money will be paid to a beneficiary in a lump sum. It's not going to be forfeited to the government. Well, the government will not know who to send that money to unless that form is filled out by the employee. If the form is not filled out, the Office of Personnel Management would send it out in order of precedence, but that could take a long time. It doesn't cost anything to fill out this form, and it should be filled out as soon as an employee is hired. Many employees have, in fact, are not even aware of this form and have never filled it out, and that's why an employee, no matter what number of years of service they have, they could be a new employee, mid-career, close to retirement, should fill out that form. Second form that duty should be filled out is a designation beneficiary for your life insurance. If you have the government life insurance, FEGLI, the Federal Employees Group Life Insurance, that form should be filled out. If an employee has private life insurance, that beneficiary form should be filled out. The beneficiary form for TSP, most federal employees have a TSP account, a beneficiary form TSP-3 should be filled out by an employee. And there's one other form that most employees should fill out. They don't have to do it right away, but it's recommended because they're contributing to the retirement systems right away. And that's a form for their retirement contributions. Every federal employee pays into his or her retirement system, whether it's CSRS or FERS. And if the employee were to die, any contributions made to the retirement system would be paid in a lump sum to a beneficiary. And those forms are for CSRS and SERS offset is standard form SF-2808. And for FERS employees, it is standard form 3102. Again, these forms can all be downloaded with the exception of the TSP form. They can be downloaded from OPM's website at opm.gov, and the TSP form can be the beneficiary form TSP-3 can be downloaded from TSP's website at tsp.gov.